Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, my favorite part of the week. I hope that's the same for you. You get a chance to learn and grow and get the inside track. Today, the inside track on drugs. Detoxing from drugs, critical insights. Now, if you've never done drugs, what I'm going to tell you today is you have done drugs, even if you haven't done drugs. I'm talking about chemicals, and we can talk about illegal hallucinogenic drugs. We can talk about marijuana. We can talk about lots of things, but everybody's got chemicals in their body that, whether or not they're standard, common term use drugs, or whether they're pharmaceutical drugs, or whether they're just chemicals in your cupcakes, you have done drugs. Now, one of the reasons I'm doing this show today is this week I had to intervene on behalf of a client who accidentally, we'll call this accidentally, consumed abnormally high dosages of a drug named ketamine. Ketamine is a hallucinogen. Ketamine has therapeutic value. Ketamine is used by medical doctors to help people, but ketamine is also abused or taken inadvertently, as it was in this case. And ketamine can have bad short and long-term side effects. So does marijuana. So does LSD. So does Prozac. Every single drug you do, well, we're all told, and we all think, and we all say, at least I hear a lot of people say, oh, I smoked pot for 5 years, 25 years ago. I don't have to think about that. It's out of my body. And it's the same thing for Prozac, and it's the same thing for the rest of the pharmacopoeia. And in a sense, this is true. And when you do drugs, or you have done drugs, you're going to be told those drugs are out of your body. And if you check the literature, you're going to come across a term called half-life. The half-life of a drug. Now, go to picture number 13. I hope you're on the website. If you're new to the show, I am Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc, two T's, is the website. If it's at all possible, get to the website so you can follow this show with the pictures. Or get on later on to the website and listen to the show again, as many, many of my clients do. I want you to go to picture number 13. We'll start it off with picture number 13. The biological half-life or terminal half-life of a drug, a substance. That's what you hear. You hear that the half-life of the drug is such that in 24 hours or 36 hours or 48 hours or 3 hours or 5 hours, it's out of your body. And that's what you do to reference the drug. So if you've done pot, if you've done cocaine, if you've done heroin, if you've done ecstasy, MDMA, if you've done ketamine and been in the K-hole, if you've done Prozac, if you're on Prozac, Xanax, all these different types of drugs, however they might differ in their pharmacokinetics or mechanism of action, you're going to be told if you check the half-life of the drug, it's out of your body. If you go to your medical doctor and you tell your medical doctor, I used to do this drug, could I be hurting myself presently? The doctor will say no. Of course, this is nonsense because the drug she'll say, is out of your body in 2 to 5 hours or 24 or 48 hours. And they get this from looking up the biological half-life. So let's understand this. The biological half-life or terminal half-life of a substance is the time it takes for a substance, a metabolite of a drug itself, a signaling molecule, a radioactive nuclide, or other substance to lose half of its pharmacologic, physiologic, or radiologic activity as per the blah, blah, blah definition. Now, that's the way you think of the drugs you used to do. And, of course, you know, I'm really talking to those of you out there that have entertained some sort of drug use for a period of time. And we'll throw into that bunch pharmaceutical drugs, too. In other words, the standard things that you get in the hospitals. Even if you've been off these things a long time, you're going to be misled into believing that because the biological half-life might be a day or two or three, it's out of your system. This is a terrible misconception. What I mean by that is, although the drug itself is not affecting you the way it did when you were on it, and many of you know that after a couple of days, you're groggy or whatever effect you still feel, you're in withdrawal, and then you don't feel like you're on it anymore. Point being, the metabolites of the drug get stored in the tissues. And the metabolites of the drug getting stored in the tissues are not the concern of this biological half-life. Drugs have effects outside the pure concern about the biological half-life, and those concerns, those side effects, are very much affecting your health for years to come. You know, the classic presentation is the pot smoker. The pot smoker, or the coke addict, or someone that's done ecstasy 100 times, you talk to people that have had those 2-year, 3-year, 4-year, 5-year stints 20, 25 years ago, and they've been super clean since then. They haven't touched so much as a drop of anything, a drop of alcohol. And they'll tell you, but I haven't done it in 20, 25 years. And because of this half-life notion, they're certain the effect is over. This is a gross misconception. The metabolites of those drugs are stored in your body. The metabolites of those drugs are messing up normal nerve transmission. The metabolites of those drugs stay in your body for your entire life unless you do something about it. Now, anybody that really knows how to think outside the box in toxicology, toxicologists, for acute issues, they're the best people. For a chronic toxicological issue, toxicologists, people who study the mechanism of actions, the excretion routes, pharmacokinetics, this, that, the other thing of drugs or toxins in the air, they are absolutely useless, these guys. If you take a little bit of one chemical and a little bit of the other chemical and a little bit of 100 different chemicals and they're all stuffed into your tissues, and we'll get into that in a moment, until the point where you're so saturated with garbage, garbage from PCP, garbage from cocaine, garbage from heroin, garbage from LSD, psilocybin, garbage from marijuana use, garbage from Prozac, Wellbutrin, garbage from whatever you've done, all stuffed into your body and saturating you like a sponge. Crossing critical mass, meaning the amalgam of all the drug-like substances, including the hallucinogens that you've done, stored in your tissue, saturating you, and you're 60 years old, and you're feeling like a broken-down jalopy as a result, you can't think straight. And you go to a toxicologist, he's going to tell you you're fine. Because they only study acute issues. They only study a single substance at a time, whereupon the concentration of that substance, because of an overdose of such, goes past a certain level, and you are clearly about to die, or you're suffering, you're in seizures. So after ER, these guys can be pretty useful because they understand that, but they don't understand the long-term effects of multiple sources of chemicals that can harm the body. And so we have this second track. I think it's the more educated track that understands that when you've done marijuana 5 straight years at heavy dosages, and it's 30 years later, this stuff is still affecting you. Now, let's get more specific about these notions. And again, I can't cover all the drugs, but I did do a nice little summary. If you go to the top, click to view full article on types of drugs. So go to the top of the site and just click on that link, types of drugs, the top 10 drugs and their effects. And as you scroll down, we go through heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine and crack and LSD and ecstasy and opium. I'm going to add ketamine to that. Marijuana. I'm scrolling down. Psilocybin. PCP. And ketamine is an analog in a sense of PCP. That's the type of drugs I'm talking about, but I want you to add the antidepressants, the anti-seizure meds. I want you to add the anti-anxieties. I want you to add the depressants, the Valium, the benzodiazepines. So you get my concept here. And all of us on some level can relate to this. Okay. Now, first concept. When that drug goes into you, orally, you swallow it. Sublingually, you put it under your tongue. Intramuscularly, you inject it into your muscles. Intravenously, you inject it into your venous system. Right? You don't inject drugs or anything into your arterial system, right? That's a mistake. But you strap that around your elbow, pop out those veins, make sure there's no bubbles in the syringe, and just slowly push that drug into your venous system. That's an intravenous, right? In hospitals, they do IV drugs all the time, right? IV antibiotics, intravenous antibiotics. Okay, we put drugs through the venous system. Then there's drugs that can go in rectally through your rectum. And I'm going to have to remember to make sure I discuss this today. A lot of people don't realize you can get drugs into your body, into your bloodstream, in the purest state, rectally, a lot better than you can orally. This is something to remember, because when you want to do the health food stuff that gets destroyed, if you want to do a probiot and you swallow it, most of it's destroyed in the gut unless it's encapsulated. But really, one of the great ways to get in is rectally. We don't like that because it's gooey, right? That's sticky. But honestly, you can get it in there much better. Drug addicts know this. Lots of drugs, lots of street drugs are done rectally, and you get a bigger high out of it for less. So we're going to keep that large intestine in mind, because detoxing from drugs, because that's what the show is about, there's important information you have to understand going on in that intestine. So you've got a bunch of ways to get drugs into the body. You can also snort the drugs. Ketamine you can inject. Ketamine you can snort. Those are the two best ways. Ketamine, which this individual actually did, this individual was going to do ecstasy, MDMA, and was accidentally slipped ketamine, and did the ketamine in very large dosages. He almost bit off the appendage of the person he was doing it with, and they thought they were going to do ecstasy together. Ecstasy's done all the time. Shouldn't be. But nonetheless, people do it. MDMA, it's a party thing with young people. And unfortunately, this couple was dealt the wrong drug and did the ketamine instead when they didn't know it. If these two hadn't been so stable-minded in the first place, in a sense, forget it. It could have been curtains. Ketamine is a dissociative drug, meaning you don't know where you are. You can cut your hand off and not know it. Ketamine is a more mild form of angel dust. I was around a lot of things growing up in New York City as a kid, and one of the things I made sure I stayed away with from was angel dust, PCP. PCP is the kind of drug that we never should have invented. You can make your little jokes about marijuana and LSD and psilocybin and all these different drugs in. Really, when you talk about PCP, dust, it's a whole other level of drug. Ketamine is in the same family. Now, Ketamine has been used therapeutically by psychiatrists, etc. It's used in anesthesia. Ketamine is a used drug because it has lots of good effects on the body if it's done with supervision. This individual did it with no supervision and did it in massive dosages, large dosages, larger than he would have done, she would have done if they had actually been supervised. So it was a real mess, and I wanted to take the time to do this show because I've spent the better part of the week figuring out how to extract this from the tissue. Of course, reading about the half-lives and seeking medical counsel in the formal sense, you're told the drug is out of your system. And yet the person is suffering severely in many, many, many ways, physically, psychologically, when the drug is supposed to be out of the system. And this is the great gap, the great divide between when people say the drug's got a half-life of 24 hours, 48 hours, it's out of your body, and it's 3 months, 6 months, 9 months later, and you're still in the middle of nowhere on it. This happens to people all the time. It happened this week. So hence the show. But I think it's a great opportunity to ask you to think about how it relates to you if you've had that 2, 5, 10-year clip on any kind of a drug. So, all right, let's keep going. So, lots of different ways to take a drug into your body. Now, once that drug is into your body, it's going to do what that drug does. You're going to have the effect, desired, undesired effects, fine. The question is, where, once that drug hits a level of saturation in the blood, does that drug get spread out into other tissues? And if a drug is lipophilic, a lipophilic drug is a drug that includes marijuana, ketamine, LSD, psilocybin, all your SSRIs. Lipophilic means fat soluble. If that drug mixes with fat, so think about that oil water test, right? We all know that the balsamic vinegar or the vinegar and the olive oil separate, and you got to mix them up, and you don't like that they separate. So you mix them up really hard to make them soluble to each other. And they're somewhat soluble, but you know if you let it stand, it'll separate, right? The cream separates from the whey. The balsamic separates from the olive oil. Well, drugs, most of your drugs, many of your drugs, believe me, the drugs that you've taken, mix into the olive oil just perfect. Drugs are generally lipophilic. They're lovers of fat. What fat? Not the fat on your belly, not only that fat. Your bone marrow is made of fat, right? Your brain is made of fat. All your peripheral nerves are made of fat. There's a ton of fat in your organs. There's a ton of fat around your heart, around your kidneys, your liver. In fact, pathology develops when the heart and the liver and the kidney get so fat, even if you're not fat, they get fat. And we say you've got a fatty liver. You've got a relatively skinny body, but the ultrasound shows, or the CT scan shows, your liver's filled with fat. Oh, he was real skinny, that guy Charlie. How did he have that heart attack? When they autopsied him, his arteries were plaqued with fat. But he had no fat on his belly. This happens all the time. So it's a misnomer to think we're only talking about the fat on your belly. We're not. Now go to picture number 2. We'll give you a little break here, a little rest, cool off your brain. Enlarged human fat cells. This is picture number 2. Enlarged human fat cells. Drug metabolites. The drug does not necessarily stay in the fat. Its metabolites stay in the fat. Ketamine becomes norketamine. And I'm not interested in all the chemical transitions of each and every drug today, but all the transitions that the drugs go through after they've been metabolized. So a drug goes into your body, shoots its load, so to speak, and what it's left with is its metabolite, and that metabolite stays in the fat. What fat? The fat in your brain. The fat in your bone marrow. Is that considered in the notion of the half-life of the drug? No. It has nothing to do with the half-life of the drug. The metabolite is not a consideration. And this is the innocence, the ignorance, the stupidity, the myopicness of the medical community to think that just because the drug is no longer pharmacologically active, that it's out of your body. You know, the interesting thing is when you work in manipulative therapy, when you touch people, do this. Any of you out there, don't tell anybody, that are on Prozac, Ativan, Wellbutrin, any of these SSRIs, anybody that's on lithium, trazodone, anybody on OxyContin, methadone, anybody that's done lots of drugs. Just do this if you're sitting there. Feel your tissue, or have your partner feel your tissue and compare it to their tissue. And what you're going to notice about people that have done drugs is their flesh is goopy. 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 What does goopy mean? I'll give you a great example of goopy. Guys that do steroids, bodybuilders. When those bodybuilders get all puffed up and they're such low body fat, you can see the contour of every muscle of the body. But when you hang with these guys, when they're not pumped up, and you put your hands, you get a 40-year-old bodybuilder, a 50-year-old bodybuilder that's been through the steroid years. And unless they're pumped up, their tissues are like goop, fudge. It's like hard taffy that's been melted into soft taffy. People that do a lot of drugs feel like that. And that's when the drug is out of their body. But when the metabolites build to a certain critical mass, the tone, T-O-N-E, or tonicity of their flesh begins to change. It's almost like even if they're thick and muscular, their muscles are soft and gooey. You want to get a sense of that. And the reason you want to get a sense of that, if you're into manipulative therapy, chiropractic, osteopathic, massage therapies, yoga, Pilates, these sorts of things, you get a good sense of what's gone on in somebody's life from the tone of their musculature. And I can tell you this, make no mistake about it. You could blindfold me or anyone that knows and understands what I'm talking about and just have them touch human flesh. And when people have been on 2 years, 3 years, 5 years of any of these types of drugs, including the birth control pill, you know it because their flesh feels different. And that drug may be out of the system on the level of the half-life for many years. So first big distinction is the distinction between the active drug, its half-life, being told that it's out of your system and all its metabolites have stuffed your sponge to the brim. It's not out of your system. Okay, we'll get to what you do about it. First, we have to define the terrain here. So these metabolites get into the human drug system. So look at picture number 3. There's Cheech and Chong. We all grew up with Cheech and Chong, right? This is their first movie. I think that's Up in Smoke. Hilarious film. They think they're driving. There's Chong there on the left. He's smoking. He's in the Pacific Palisades, Tommy Chong. Looks great. He's in his 70s now. Pure white hair, really good guy. He's in there, and that's a big, big fat joint he's smoking. They think they're driving. For some of you, that rings a bell. Do you know what their flesh feels like after 2 years, 3 years, 5 years of doing that? That's the goop that I'm talking about. Well, not you. You've never done drugs. Do you know how many hairstylists I've shook hands with? I've shaken hands with hairstylists who've never so much touched a marijuana cigarette. Cigarette smokers. People that have done alcohol, but not for 20 years. People that are absolutely drug-free, never touched it, never did it, don't drink so much as a Diet Coke, but for the last 40 years, they've been cutting hair and sucking in lipophilic hairsprays. Anything that's toxic that goes into your body will store in the fat. Fat of the bone marrow, fat of the brain, fat in the visceral organs, fat in the organs, visceral fat. And the fat on top of you, you know something? Here's a crazy one. Skinny people are more at risk than fat people. That's right. I kid you not. If you study it, if you get in there in the subterranean world, not the world in published reports, not the world that we talk about at conferences, but where the real information is between doctors, you see, talking casually. Think of your own profession. You know this is true. All the real information crosses hands, crosses in conversation, in back rooms, because we don't have to worry about reputations and peers and litigation and the rest of it. On the inside, you see, on the inside, we all understand this about drugs. And what we understand about disease, a lot of times skinny people, for no reason other than they have no place to store the lipophilic poisons they've been exposed to. One of the reasons that a good layer of fat, an extra 15, 20 pounds of fat is good, is if you're in a toxic environment, that fat sucks it up. And you spare yourself your brain and your spinal cord and your bone marrow. Now, I don't want to shake the rug too much, but this is definitely a reality. There are, in the classification of people out there, people who are very skinny, people who, in fact, don't do a lot of anything you'd consider bad or unhealthy, but just on the basis of occupational hazard. If you're not the hairstylist, you work at the Long Beach port, or you're on the birth control pill, or you've been on antidepressants for a long, long time, or you're in some occupation where you just get high exposure. You drive a cab, you drive a truck, you're an auto mechanic, you're a body worker, I mean auto body worker. You work in industry. You make jewelry, beautiful jewelry. You're an artist, a sculptor, a painter, an oil painter. You're a commercial painter. We have a whole portfolio of people out there occupationally attacked by lipophilic drugs. So strictly, yes, we're going to be talking about the drugs that we commonly refer to as drugs, but I want to expand this to you on every single level because you can see what lipophilic really means. All right, let's keep going. Picture number four. How long does marijuana stay in your system? We just had that discussion. Let's move on to ketamine here. Picture number five, the big K. How about picture six? Ketamine hydrochloride. Okay, that's what's going to be injected in. Ketamine, PCP, psilocybin, LSD, ecstasy. Let's just throw them. They're different, but let's throw them in the same group. They get into the body and they go into the nerve tissue, brain, spinal cord, because they're hallucinogenic. That's where they live. Great. Then the half-life is over and the metabolites are still stuck in your fat. And once they're stuck in your fat, they're stuck. And the question is can you get a fat exchange going? Can you start to trade fats? Can you get good fats in to exchange your fats? Fat exchange. Fat exchange doesn't happen for people who don't eat fat. Fat exchange doesn't really happen that well for people who are very skinny. Lots of people have this thing about fat. Fat's bad. I want you to hold that for a second and understand another part of ingesting all these drugs. The cells, when you ingest these drugs, it's like a holocaust. The acidifying, corrosive ability of these drugs, all of them, is massive. And if you look at picture number 14, there's a perfect cell. Look at picture 15. There's a perfect cell. Now look at picture 16. And that's what I'm getting at. Cell attacked by free radicals. The cells in your body, in your organs, are going to be ravaged by drug use. That's the way it goes. It's nothing for nothing. You want to move from depression to mania? You want to hallucinate? You want to, in your own way, see God on LSD or ayahuasca or whatever? You want the high of cocaine? You're going to pay a price. These drugs are corrosive. You got to understand then that this is important. It's one thing to get the drug out in terms of the half-life. It's another thing to get the metabolites out through intense cleansing, and we'll get to that. But it's another thing to understand that a big part of getting your feet back together, getting it together again, is about rebuilding the cell. If you're already behind the eight ball and your cells are grossly damaged by ketamine or marijuana or whatever you've done and do, when you turn it around, you've got to rebuild the cell. But that corrosiveness is where? That corrosiveness is in the kidney. That corrosiveness is in the bile ducts. That corrosiveness is on the inner lining of the gastrointestinal tract. That corrosiveness is up your nasal septum. That corrosiveness is in your lungs. Corrosive means fibrosive. Corrosive, fibrosive. Fibrosive means fibrin deposition. You scar up your renal tubules. You scar up your bile ducts. Don't panic, all right? Most of this is very reversible, but you've got to reverse it. You've got to do it. If you don't do it and you just say, I used to be a pot smoker back in high school. From age 15 to 25, I smoked every single day. Or yes, like everyone else, I had my 3 or 4 years of heavy drug use, but I'm 60 and this occurred when I was 20. You see, you have a misunderstanding of the game. You were behind the eight ball when you were doing it. Then you did it. If you haven't really worked to get the metabolites out and really build the body, you're going to be behind the eight ball as long as you live. That is a reality. That is the way it works. You know people that have done drugs. You can tell them. If you're in my profession, you can look at somebody and know. You can shake hands with them and know. So you got to understand, when we say drugs, you think, can I get out the metabolites? Where did that drug store in my fat? And am I getting adequate fat exchange? When we say drugs, you have to realize that although you still may look okay, you burned out your body. The corrosive effect to the linings of your tissues, the membranes of your cells and otherwise, have been damaged. Now, here's the thing. When you're trying to get these metabolites out of your system through deep cleansing, we're talking about the bile ducts, right? We're talking about the tubules of the kidney, the glomerulus of the kidney. We're talking about the inside of the intestines. We're talking about the lungs. We're talking about air through the nose, through the septum. And these tissues can be corroded as it is. That's where the scarring occurs. Because in the 2, 3, 4 years you did a lot of the drug, you burned up a lot of these tissues. In other words, your cells were so free radical damaged that you've been scarred up to begin with. Now you got to understand what that means. It means that when you try to detox, you're not getting adequate detoxification because you've scarred up the kidney, you've scarred up the biliary system, you've scarred up the intestines. What do you think IBS is? Ulcerative colitis. Primary biliary sclerangium sclerosis, cholangitis, so to speak. The scarring in the renal tubules, the deposition of calcium into the bile ducts and into the renal tubules. This is from constant corrosive damage that the drugs definitely create. So you've got then this catch 22. You're at the point now in your 40s and 50s and 60s or whatever when you want to get the stuff out and you start trying to do it through cleansing, as you should. We'll get into that a little more in a moment. But what you're faced with is you've scarred up your exits. Your exits are scarred. They don't have to be clogged. They're scarred. They're all ducts, right? Go to picture number 21. Go to picture number 21. Those little green things, picture 21, that's a cross-section in the liver. If you're new to the show, I apologize. You must have a headache by now. But I have to really give it to my listeners, my regular listeners, of whom I'm proud to say there are many from all over the United States and outside the United States. Some people are actually off the show by itself, bringing their health to another level, which is amazing to me. Now look at this picture number 21. Picture 21 here. Those tiny little green ducts, they scar up. Those are the bile canaliculi. They scar up. Once they scar up, you don't get it out through your gallbladder. Your coffee enemas don't work. Your liver doesn't work too well. Because the portals of exit after the liver deaminates, transferases, puts the ringer on all of these drugs that it's taking apart so you can excrete them, hopefully. The liver's got to slow down its process because the plumbing is stuffed up because it's scarred. And this is the same with the kidney et al. So you've got this quandrum when you decide to clean it out. One, you've got to create a lot of fat exchange, define that in a moment. Two, how do you get it out when all your exits are scarred? Well, you're talking about a process. You're talking about a process of pushing it out and regenerating, pushing and regenerating, pushing and regenerating. And it can be a bumpy road. And this is what you see people go through, a bumpy road. It takes time. Okay, it's not you. You just work at LAX. You're a jet fuel mechanic. You've never done a drug in your life. Nope. You put on a gorgeous dress each day and cut hair for $2,000-$3,000 a day to the movie stars. No, this is about you. Because although it's not about PCP and angel dust and heroin and marijuana and the rest of it, guess what? Occupational exposure. If you even live in San Pedro or Long Beach, I'm talking to you. This is the reality, not the politically correct reality, right? The government would never let us live in the kind of filth that people live in China, you see. In industrial China in India now, where literally every morning you can just put your finger on the front windshield of the car if you have one and just pull it off in layers. I have people from all over the globe reporting to me on these travesties of human existence. Not us in San Pedro or Torrance or at the oil refineries. It doesn't happen here. I want to make that clear. So here's the thing. On some level, we're all going to suffer from this. So you got to get deep into the show with me. As you bring in good food, not the scope of the show, as you go into the cleanses, coffee enemas, olive oil flushes, kidney flushes, colon flushes, what you're doing is opening up the portals of exit, but you're balancing that with feeding your body to repair the oxidatively and free radical damaged tissues that went not only with the drug years, but went with, well, being behind the eight ball for many other years, or the constant relentless pounding that's your occupational hazard. And you got to balance it out. So, on drugs, with an awareness of this, are you getting bile? On drugs, with an awareness of this, have you flushed the kidneys? Check out my other shows to make sure that you've pulled out the oxalate, the uric acid, the phosphate. Have you done a fibrin cleanse? Are you into notokinase? Lots of it. Have you cleaned the goop out from your tissues, as evidenced by the excretory pathways being primed? Do you understand what deep breath actually means, what Groff breath means, what yogic breath means? Do you really understand that? Have you gotten into Banya? All right? Won't labor this point. Talk too much about Banya. Take you down to picture number 24. That's a Banya sauna. Look at picture number 26. That's the full spectrum infrared sauna from sunlight. Look at picture 25. Now we're talking about the ice pool. Hot, cold. I'm not really talking about the shower. It's a poor substitute. I'm talking about the real things. The real Banya. A good full spectrum infrared. Try sunlight. Diving into a cold pool. An icy stream. Articulating it, navigating it, evolving it to the point where you actually make an investment of time or money or energy into having these experiences. So from bile flow to kidney flow to getting it out through your skin, which is the third kidney, to really cleaning out the breath, to spending time. You know what 3 weeks could do for you in Patagonia? What 3 weeks could do for you where we still have natural resource on the planet? I tell people to move all the time. I tell people to get out of where you live and go. Because for the 1 or 2 years of what that's involved, and the minimal cost if you do it right, you see, it'll save you the next 30 years of your life. This is the way we have to. And this is how we have to start to wrap our heads around the new world. We are in a new world. You can't go down the street and buy farm food. Air is becoming a commodity. Water is becoming a commodity. Food is definitely of the past. What I've seen in the last 15 years in terms of decay at the farmers' markets is grossly alarming. And so we have to start giving health and the things you have to do for health a bigger berth. Because while marvelous science is coming up with solutions all the time, in the balance of cost and benefit, there's more disease, more chronic disease than ever. We're not winning the war. We're engaging in some brilliant battles. When we're taking bacteria now, genetically engineering bacteria to target specific tumors, that's a battle we won. That's magnificent. The way we're treating melanoma now is brilliant. I mean, there's so much on the horizon in terms of classic Western science, but in the balance of trade, we are way behind, and that will continue. So we can put all our wins on the cover of Time magazine, because who wants bad news? But in the balance of trade, we are definitely losing. We're producing sicker and sicker human beings every minute. So we've got to wrap our heads around solutions that have to give more space in your life. Thus the show. Because everybody's got drugs one way or the other in their body. All right, so we talked about different ways different drugs get into the body. We talked about the difference between half-life and metabolites and fat cells. Fat exchange. Going to go back to that. We talked about, in fact, how you get the stuff out in the correct way. And those of you who are new to the show, go on my other shows and discussions about the liver and the kidney and cleanses and detoxifications, so on and so forth. And understand that if you're doing those and you're getting results, you're doing a piece of it. But fat loves fat. And this is where the raw fats, especially for those of you who are high oxidizers, those of you skinny people who have been through toxic environments, drug years, I'm talking to you especially. Because skinny people have no blubber to store the drug in. And because they don't have any blubber, belly fat, leg fat, butt fat, neck fat, face fat, because you don't have a place to store, it's going right to your brain, spinal cord, and bone marrow. Especially you, but everybody, has to get hip to fat exchange. You got to get to the level of fat on a whole new level. And a lot of you don't, especially ladies, because for understandable reasons, you've got a real, real issue about putting on an extra 10 pounds on the butt or something, or the legs and blah, blah. You got to be careful there. So, fats, not out of a bottle. Rule one. Rule one, do not do your fats out of a bottle. I never asked people to do this. I did it because I was, you don't have a choice sometimes. People won't do anything. You want your fat, you get it out of avocado. Do not get it out of one fat. Don't make that mistake too. The classic California line, you know, this avocado thing is hilarious. In California, everybody sits there toxic, ill-advised, sedentary, and they give you this smile and they go, oh, I do an avocado every day. You know that L.A. voice? Like, they got their fats down. Well, you don't have your fats down on an avocado. Forget that. An avocado is a good thing. What about olives? What about nuts? What about fat from fish? Fat from meat? What about coconuts? What about taking the flax seeds and grinding them low heat slowly, but compressing them in the machine with great force? Be careful of fats out of capsules, out of bottles, the whole thing. If you have the time, don't do it that way. You will see evidence of this so conclusively when you take people who have done drugs and you need to detox them. You will see the difference between a fresh, raw, creamy fat and something out of a bottle. It will blow your mind. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Call my office if you need guidance, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. You know, don't make that first step complicated. People do that all the time. How much is it going to cost? How long is it going to last? What you can get from good counsel is worth everything. Don't begrudge yourself that first step, because being put in the right direction as a first step is worth 1,000 visits, 1,000 sources that put you in the wrong direction for pennies, you see? And this is a mistake people make. They don't understand that counsel is everything. And yet if you look back in your life, it's that you zigged instead of zagged and zagged instead of zigged and didn't make that right choice in that right moment because your counsel stunk. Get good counsel, 714-850-1007. Enough said. All right. Fat exchange with pure, creamy fats, lots of them, which means you have to get to the point where you don't interfere with your fat cravings because you're bringing your blood glucose and your insulin up too high. If you are trying to detox your way out of a life of drugs and occupational drugs and SSRI drugs, bring the fats in copiously to the point where you can handle them. But understand, if you don't bring your blood glucose down, if you don't move to a ketotic state, I spoke to a young lady yesterday off many years of drugs that we finally shifted into a ketotic state. She doesn't want to look at a carbohydrate, and she's craving fat. And it's fixed her thyroid. And she'll continue to heal marvelously because she simply shifted her fundamental metabolisms. And this is what I'm saying to you, especially you very skinny people. You see, you don't eat, you very skinny people, because you bring your blood sugar up and you stabilize all day long by keeping your blood sugar high on carbs. And because you're a high metabolizer, you really just keep eating all day, but you burn the fat off quickly because it's your metabolism. But you don't eat a lot. And you don't use fat. And so you can't get fat exchange. And we all do this. We all use carbohydrate to block receptivity to the creamy, raw fats we should be ingesting so that we can engage in visceral fat exchange from the brain, from the spinal cord, from the bone marrow, out through the body. How much? We're not going to get into it. There's no such thing as how much. The how much is cleaning your palate and getting to a point where you can listen to your body, to where you'll say, I crave fat, I can't get enough of it, or at a certain point, I have satiety and I've had enough of it. Or to say, I've played with it and I've made mistakes with it, and I know the line across which I should slow it down and stop it. After I've qualified the purity of the fat, the exquisite preparation of the fat, the mixing of the fat, meaning you don't eat lots of fat with cantaloupe, you don't do a raw cream, you don't do a raw ice cream, you don't do a raw egg with a piece of cantaloupe. Moving right along, organs of excretion, fat exchange, is binding up that fat, binding up that drug in the large intestine. The excretion path of the drug, or of the drug metabolite, or of the corrosive drug metabolite that's coming out through the large intestine, always recirculates back into your blood in the large intestine. You don't get it out of your tissue, into the bile duct, dump it into the intestine, and out the body. It doesn't work that way. A percentage comes out, a percentage recirculates back in. That's why we invented MediClay. Go to picture number 29, calcium bentonite. Premier Research Labs makes a marvelous concoction of this, clean and pure, as that company always does. MediClay FX, look on the back of that picture, 30, and you're looking at calcium bentonite. This is great stuff to be ingested away from food. 1, 2, 3 capsules. Get supervised with it. I can't tell you how much to do, not the scope of this show. But the point is, whether it's 1 or 2 or 3 capsules a day, once or twice a day, somewhere in that zone, whatever it is, away from food. And guess what? As you're trying to get the stuff out of your tissue, the metabolites, it's going to bind up in there. If you've had acute overdoses, take this stuff. It's going to bind it up. Clay is a marvelous succulent. It sucks up garbage and makes sure it doesn't recirculate back into the blood. If your toxic bile that's taking the drug out of your tissue in an acute or chronic metabolic stage, this clay is going to bind it in the large intestine so you poop it out. Very good stuff. Very good stuff to have on hand. If you're in the Banya sauna, look at picture 27. Picture 27 is that wonderful Medi magma, that black volcanic clay on your body inside the saunas. Fantastic stuff. Use the skin to get the water-soluble stuff out to take the burden off the kidneys. It's another really important adjunct to therapy. Now, the liver. I didn't put this pictorially on the show, but the liver. The liver demands help. Liver ND. Milk thistle, turmeric, nanized, broken down for high absorption. Tinctured to alcohol for high absorption. Turmeric, the curcumin, powerful aid to liver detoxification. We're not talking about getting it into the bile now, cleaning the bile ducts. We're talking about speeding up, giving the liver help. Any of your sulfur-based drugs or any of your sulfur-based herbs, amino acids, methionine, right? L-methionine, cysteine, maybe MSM. Definitely glutathione. But more than ingesting glutathione to help the liver detox the drugs, detox the metabolites, more than that is making sure that the body is getting its supply of sulfur, eggs. I cannot give you, if you look at the inositol in eggs, if you look at the choline, if you look at the B vitamins, if you look at the cholesterol, if you look at the lecithin in the egg, if you look at the sulfur in the egg, use egg. Fertile, raw egg, if possible. Ingest it. Get high quality. Eat egg. Poach it. Eat egg. Lots of eggs. Put them in your shakes. Put them in your salads. Eggs will take drugs out of the body. Eggs will enhance by delivering sulfur and lots of other compounds to the liver. How much? Not the scope of this show. You figure it out. But don't be afraid of eggs. Eggs are big. Eggs help the liver detox. Eggs lend the sulfur so the liver can make its glutathione. You can ingest glutathione from the outside, but getting it from the inside is the egg. Methionine, curcumin, glutathione, the B vitamins, the flushes, the oils, the banya, the sweating, the time, the patience, and feeling a change in your tissue. You'll know you've really done it right when the tone of your tissue changes. The tonicity of tissue change is the ultimate proof. And that's a thing America should understand. Tone of tissue teaches you everything. Touch a teenager and touch a middle-aged drug addict, and you'll know the difference between the two. We've covered a lot today. Get on the website. Listen to the show again. Look at the pictures. Think about it yourself. Get on it. If you need to see me, call my office, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.